We're back on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. on your dial, and we are about to move into an interview with Jackie from the Trans Justice Project. Jackie, it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So we'd like it if you could tell listeners a little bit about some of this furor that has been whipped up recently in countries like Australia and the US in regards to trans rights.
Yeah, so, obviously it's been a really hard couple of years for the trans community as attacks around the world have really escalated from a really coordinated campaign from the anti-trans lobby. I think many of us have been watching what's happening in the UK and the US and wondering how long it will take for groups to start to take that up here. So obviously we have a huge day of action on the weekend. It's pretty amazing. It's gone much bigger than we were originally expecting. So there's now 18 events around the country that'll be calling on the Queensland government to actually reverse its ban on gender-affirming care for trans youth on the public system, and also to make gender-affirming care accessible and affordable for everyone who needs it. I think, like, you know, at the moment, there's a really important thing that we need to understand, that these attacks can't go unopposed, and we need to be standing together as not only as a community, but also, like, as a society that values, you know, freedom and equality and justice for people. And we need to be bringing people together against these kinds of, authoritarian attacks.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. And we will actually talk a bit about this National Day of Action a little bit further on. But one thing I just want to quickly get you to tell listeners about is this decision that happened in Queensland. So the Queensland state government has stopped funding for puberty blockers and hormone treatments for people under 18 in state-funded clinics. Can you tell us a bit about the background of this, about the decision itself and some of the implications coming out of this?
Yeah, totally. So this was announced last week. It was, I think, on Tuesday or something that it came through. And obviously sets a really worrying precedent for what people might see from like other states possibly putting something like this in. So parents and trans youth are really worried about it. I know that lots of parents around the country that I've been talking to are worried that something similar could happen near them and see this as a real flashpoint and a moment where we really need to stand up and say that, you know, the governments can't make decisions based on ideology, that they actually need to, like, support, you know, vital and evidence-based healthcare and not just ban things that they don't necessarily agree with. So the decision, you might have been following that originally the Chris Afuli, who's the Premier of Queensland, originally said that they would actually support the recommendations put forward by the previous government in a review, that they would expand gender-affirming healthcare services in Queensland and also increased their funding by $2 million. Now, they have broken that promise, firstly by refusing, like, cutting that funding and refusing to go ahead with the recommendations, and now commissioning their own review and also, in the meantime, banning medical gender-affirming care for trans youth. So we would love to know about why they've done this. I think there's been a lot in the media saying, you know, some euphemisms about unauthorised care and this sort of stuff, which we haven't been able to find any evidence of. When I've been talking to families in Cairns about this, it seems like that clinic is a real pillar of the community. Everyone goes there. They're providing exemplary care. And the story just doesn't match up with what the Queensland government is saying.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. And you're listening to 3CR, our Green Left radio show, and we're having an interview here with Trans Justice Project and Jackie from Trans Justice Project. Hi, Jackie. My name's Stephanie. I was just wondering if you could speak further to the impacts in regards to, like, well-being and mental health on trans people of the, you know, the impact of these developments.
Yeah, totally. We know that gender-affirming care and, like, particularly hormones and puberty blockers are life-saving and life-changing healthcare. This is vital healthcare, especially for trans youth. Many of the youth who have been on these waiting lists have actually already been waiting for years to access this treatment. We've been talking to some people who have basically been about to receive treatment, and this decision from the Queensland government has kicked them off the waiting list, and so now they have to find care privately instead, which many people can't afford, especially in a cost of living crisis. So obviously this is hugely distressing for trans youth who may have already done, you know, 10, 15 different appointments with different specialists and everything to get access to this care, as well as just, you know, having to go to school, you know, be growing up feeling like, you know, you can't be your authentic self, and you don't have the freedom to be yourself. So we're also seeing that this is having a huge impact on families who, you know, I think any parents can relate to this, that you would fight tooth and nail for your kid to access the care they need. And to have the government intervene in this way, to cut off vital health care for your child, it's hugely distressing, and really has the world upside down for many of these families. So I think the medical bodies are coming out to basically say that this could have devastating consequences, and I'm really concerned about, as well, like what that mental health impact can be, because we know that when people can't access treatment, you know, rates of mental illness and that sort of stuff go up.
Yeah, of course. And we know already that trans young people are a more at-risk group when it comes to ill mental health, as well as sadly rates of self-harm and suicide also. And with this, it's essentially sort of like cultural abuse, we could call it, whereby like the mental health impact on trans young people is so much greater, or it's so profound before we even see a follow-on with policies, if Australia follows the States and the UK.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that an important thing for people to know is, I think that the Queensland decision is an outlier in Australia. So, you know, it's really concerning looking at the US and the UK, but we have a real opportunity at the moment in that the Queensland government is kind of going out on a limb here. And if we can put enough pressure on them and really draw a line in the sand over this, then we can force them to lift that ban and take a backward step. And that will set a precedent for the rest of the country as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, although it's really distressing looking at what could happen, we also have this huge opportunity here as well to really cement gender-affirming care in this country.
Yeah, and that's really great. Lead on to the National Day of Action on Feb 8th, which is tomorrow. Could you please tell us more about that and what listeners can do to support?
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. We launched it about a week and a half ago, and there's now 18 events around the country.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
we lost you for a second. My apologies.
Oh, sorry. Am I back?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was just saying it's pretty amazing. We've got 18 events happening around the country. We've had more than 100 endorsements from organisations and public figures for the rallies. And we're now expecting thousands of people to turn out across the continent in support of trans youth. So many, like, young people and parents will be sharing their stories on the day. There'll be calls to action. These will be very, like, family-friendly events that aim to centre the experience and stories of trans youth and their families on the day, since they often don't get a platform to speak for themselves, especially with the media environment we're in at the moment. So, yeah, it should be really fun and exciting. If people want to, we're encouraging people to, like, bring flags and help make it colourful and joyful, despite the seriousness of the subject at hand.
Yeah, awesome. So that's fantastic. So maybe just before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you a little bit, you know, of a what might be a deeply political question here, because we must always make this political. When we talk about mores and concepts of sex, sexuality, gender, the family, and so forth, these are always related to questions of, you know, nationhood, of state, of, you know, maintaining basically, you know, capitalism or the dominant system in place. So while what happened in Queensland is at this moment an outlier in this country, it is part of a growing trend globally. And we have seen this previously as well with things like homosexuality and so forth. Can you tell us a bit about what might be motivating the current far right, but it also is present in some liberal senses here, towards whipping up transphobia, fear around trans people, even these tired canards about trans people being, dangerous to children and so forth. Can you tell us a bit, like, politically in terms of, say, capitalism and maintenance of the state, why this might be being pushed?
Yeah, so we know that a key tactic here is of conservative political actors is to fuel fear about minorities or like some form of outgroup so that they can win and hang on to power. I think that, you know, what we see with Trump's politics at the moment, right, is that he needs plenty of enemies so that he can maintain a really strong kind of core base. And this is a key component of how fascist governments have risen to power in the past, not to sound like hyperbolic, but it's...
Doesn't sound hyperbolic at all.
What do we recognise? The politics of fear is a really important tool for these kinds of governments, and that they will blame migrants for the housing crisis. They'll blame trans people for a whole range of things, like you were saying, with relation to kids and, you know, changing gender dynamics. But as far as we see it, our society does have a lot of different people in it, and democracies should actually be catering so that everyone can live in safety and equality. It's important that we stand up for that, I think. And I think it's why solidarity between causes is so important, understanding that the connection between attacks on trans people is deeply entwined with attacks on racial minorities. It's deeply connected with attacks on working class people. And all these things reflect in on each other, and we have to be standing together to fight for a better world.
Yep. Excellent. So we are out of time this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show with us, Jackie. I'm hoping that all listeners will turn out tomorrow for the National Day of Action, February 8 p.m. I believe it's at the State Library in Victoria. Thanks once again, Jackie. And we will now move towards wrapping up the show. Mary, would you like to take that away?